This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called, Why Can I Trust the Bible?
During the Middle Ages, there was the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague killed one-fourth of Europe. One out of every four people died during the Black Plague because we didn't understand germs. And we didn't understand contagion, and we didn't understand infection, and we didn't understand quarantining people, and so they had sick people with the bubonic plague who were contagious sleeping right next to healthy people, and people just kept dying because we didn't know about germs and contagion, and it became an epidemic and then a pandemic. I should have read the Bible, because thousands and thousands of years before the bubonic plague, God had said in Leviticus 13, verse 4, this: put an infected person in quarantine for 7 days. That's thousands of years before we even knew what germs were. God was saying, here's how you take care of people who get infected with an illness. You put them outside the camp for 7 days. And if they're still sick, he says in the next verse, keep them out there for another 7 days. Nobody understood quarantine because nobody understood germs. But God was right. I could go on and on. The Bible is always scientifically accurate. It is always ahead of science. The Bible says this, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. Mine aren't, yours aren't, human beings aren't, but every word of God is flawless. In fact, it's not only flawless. Psalm 12, 6 says this: the words of the Lord are flawless like silver refined in a furnace of clay and purified 7 times. It's like, is that the right word? Is that the right word? Is it purified 7 times? My wife, Kay, wishes I'd speak like that. Because, see, often my mouth gets in gear before my mind gets engaged, and I say words that are flawed. But God's word is flawless. We know we can trust the Bible because it is historically accurate. Archaeology confirms it. And it is scientifically accurate. Number three, we know we can trust the Bible because it is prophetically accurate. It is prophetically accurate. What does that mean? It means that the promises and the predictions in the Bible always come true. Now, the Bible is filled with literally thousands and thousands of prophecies where God says, this is going to happen at such and such a time in such and such a way. And over all of the centuries, thousands of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, every one of them exactly as God said. And some of them are still yet to be fulfilled. You know, there are over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, the Messiah, up to 1,000 years before he was born. And over a 1,000-year period, 300 prophecies said things like, this is when he'll be born, this is where he'll be born, this is how he'll be born. You can't control that if you're trying to make yourself the Messiah. You didn't choose where you were born. This is how he'll die and the manner he'll die and what he'll die from. And all of the, over 300 prophecies. What are the odds of me making 300 predictions about you and every one of them coming true? The odds are so astronomical, you couldn't write that number down. You see, it takes more faith to believe it all just was a coincidence than to believe that God planned it. It takes an enormous faith to believe it's all just random, that it all just happened without a designer, without a creator. 1,000 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, David, in one of his Psalms, describes what death by crucifixion is like. Now, he doesn't use the word crucifixion because nobody even knew that word. But 1,000 years before the Romans are even thinking of crucifixion, David describes what the death and the crucifixion is like. How did he know that? Only God could have told him. Look at these verses. The Bible says in 2 Peter, no prophecy ever originated from humans. In other words, guys didn't just sit around and go, hey, let's think this one up, write it down. No prophecy ever originated from humans. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction. You know, during Bible times, nobody wanted to be a prophet. You know why? Because the law was this in Israel. A prophet of God had to be correct 100% of the time. And if you were wrong just once, then you were considered a false prophet and would be put to death. So nobody wanted to be a prophet. Because you had to be accurate 100% of the time. Now, there are a lot of people who claim to be prophets today. There are prophets, false prophets, non-prophets. Okay. I mean, by the way, let me just give you a little tip. Don't ever trust a psychic who asks for your name. I mean, if you're so psychic, you shouldn't have to ask for my credit card. You should just know it. And don't say, well, I know all about you. Okay, then tell me what my credit card number is. Then I'll believe you. Okay? It's prophetically accurate. Jesus said this in Matthew 26. But all this is happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in scriptures. Jesus said it's all coming true, just like God predicted. Revelation 22, John says, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy, this prophecy. These words are trustworthy. You can trust it. And they're true. Why? Because they're from God. The Lord sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. It is prophetically accurate. And the odds of all these prophecies happening and just the way they did over thousands of years is astronomical. Number four, the fourth reason I know that the Bible is trustworthy is it is thematically unified. It is thematically unified. What I mean by that, it has the same theme through the entire book. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the same theme of redemption from Genesis to the end. Jesus is the star, and it is a thematically unified book. You say, what's so big deal about that? I know a lot of books that carry the same theme from the beginning to the end. Written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors? I don't think so. You see, this book was written over 1,600 years from the first book to the last by 40 different authors on 3 different continents in 3 different languages, and they didn't know about each other. How do you think they all got the same story? When it wasn't even collected in one book until 1,000 years later after they died in the Old Testament. How do you think they knew that? You see, it'd be one thing if one person wrote this book. See, the Quran was written by one person, Muhammad. The Analects of Confucius are written by Confucius. The writings of Buddha are written by Buddha. You would expect them to be uniform. The Bible was written by 40 different people in every age and stage of life, as I said, on 3 different continents, in 3 different languages, over 1,600 years, and they got the same story. This book was written by poets and prophets. It's written by princes and kings. It's written by sailors and soldiers. This book was written by attorneys and a doctor, an MD. It's written by kings. It's written by prisoners. It's written by common people. It's written by prophets. All kinds of people wrote the Bible. And it was written in all kinds of locations. Some of the Bible was written in a cave. Some of the Bible was written on ships. Some of it was written in homes. Some of it was written in palaces. Some of it was written in prison. And they all come up with the same theme? You got to be kidding me. It has the same theme of redemption from cover to cover over 1,600 years. You couldn't get a more diverse group. Fishermen and tax collectors and scholars and businessmen. and over a period of over almost 2,000 years, coming up with the same story. I mean, let me give you an example of this. If I were to take 50 pieces of paper right now, and there's 66 books in the Bible, but let's just say I were to take 50 pieces of paper, and I were to hand them out to people today, and I said to each of you, I want you to tear this piece of paper any way you want to, in any shape you want to. I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to use it, and I just want you to tear it in a shape. And so you tear it up in a shape, and then I take the 50 pieces back. What would be the odds that all 50 of those pieces of paper would form a perfect map of the United States of America and the 50 states? You wouldn't believe it. You'd say it's a trick. The odds are too astronomical to just accept that they all unify and fit together. But the Bible's more than that. It was on many places, many people, and many centuries. And yet it all fits together with the same unified theme. Here's what Jesus said, Luke 24. Beginning with Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible written by Moses. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Did you get that? See, most people think the New Testament's about Jesus and the Old Testament's about Israel. Wrong. The New Testament wasn't even written when Jesus said that. He's talking about the Old Testament. It says he went through all the scriptures and showed what it said about him. The story is about Jesus from beginning to end. The pictures, the metaphors, the analogies, the allusions, everything in Scripture from the beginning to the end is about God's plan to redeem people and build a family for eternity. It all began with him. The star of the story is Jesus. You can see him in every book. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures because you believe that they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. Now remember, New Testament hasn't been written when he said this. He's talking about the Old Testament. All the Scriptures point to me. Now, while we're talking about Jesus, Tom is going to come and talk to you about the fifth way that we know we can trust the Bible is the Word of God.
Fifth way I know I can trust the Bible is because it's confirmed by Jesus. Because Jesus trusted the Bible. You may have heard somebody say, you may have even thought, you know, I trust what Jesus said. I'm just not sure about those other guys. Well, here's the challenge to that. Jesus trusted the rest of the Bible. So if I trust Jesus, then I got to trust the rest of the Bible because Jesus trusted the rest of the Bible. Jesus proclaimed the Bible as a unique book above all others. Look at this next verse in your outline. Matthew 5:18. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Jesus looks at the Bible and says, it's going to last until the end of time. It's going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in this world. Here's what Jesus had to say about it up on the screen. John 10:35, Jesus said, let's read this one together. Jesus said, Scripture is always true. Jesus proclaimed the truth of the Bible. And when Jesus talked about the truth of the Bible, I've got to listen to that in my own life. When Jesus says that every sentence and word of the Bible is true, that's why I believe that every sentence and word of the Bible is true. When you read how Jesus talked about the Bible with people, he would often base his argument about the truth of the Bible on a single sentence or even a single word from the Bible. So he believed every single sentence, every single word. So why wouldn't I? Because I trust Jesus. And when Jesus talks about the Bible, he doesn't just talk about poetry and history. He talks about it as something that's life-changing. Look at this next verse up on the screen. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Here's what Jesus had to say. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and do what? And obey it and do it. So not just read it like poetry, oh, isn't that nice, but obey it because God wrote it to our lives. Jesus, as he talked about the Bible, he talked about it as a real book, talking about real people in real places with a real God who's really at work in our lives. Up on the screen, let me just put for you just a real quick list of some of the people and places that the Bible talks about as real and that Jesus also confirmed as he taught that were real. Jesus believed in the prophets. If you want to write down a couple of these verses, I'll leave that up there for a couple of seconds. He talked about all the prophets being real. He talked about Daniel being real. Jesus believed in Noah, everything that happened with the flood. He talks about that. He believed in Adam and Eve. Jesus believed in the tragedy of Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened there. He taught on that. He believed in Jonah and what happened there. Now, here's the interesting thing. Particularly those last four, Noah, Adam and Eve, Sodom and Gomorrah, Jonah, those are the most disputed stories in the Bible by people who say, oh, it's just a bunch of fables. And they're good stories, they're good moral stories, but they didn't really happen. Well, Jesus believed they really happened. In fact, he used some of these as illustrations of the fact of what was going to happen in his resurrection. If Jesus really believed in Jonah, I believed in what happened. Now, I don't know how God created a fish that could swallow a guy, but he did. He did. I trust in it because Jesus trusted in it. And it always, it sort of makes me smile when 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years later, we look back at the Bible and we go, well, you know, I'm going to trust that part and I'm not going to trust that part. Based on my subjective or emotional feelings, I'm going to accept that part and I'm not going to accept that part. Jesus trusted it. Jesus trusted it, and so I trust it. Augustine said, if you believe in the Bible what you like and you don't believe what you don't like, it's not the Bible you trust, but yourself. And I don't know about you, I've found that my emotions, my opinions are not always trustworthy. I trust Jesus. He trusted the Bible. That's one of the main reasons why I trust the Bible.
The sixth reason that you can trust the Bible as the absolute authoritative word of God, God-breathed, theopneustos, is that it has survived all attacks. And that makes it an unusual book. The Bible is the most despised book, the most derided, the most denied, the most disputed, the most dissected, the most debated, the most outlawed, the most destroyed, the most banned book ever in history. Millions of people have died because they refused to give up their Bible. People were killed. It was illegal. It's still illegal in some countries. Like today, you take a Bible into Korea, you can get killed for it. North Korea, not South Korea. South Korea is a Bible country. But North Korea, you take a Bible in, you can get arrested, thrown in jail, and you can be killed for it. This Bible has been under attack for century after century after century by every imaginable thing you can imagine, and yet it is still the most read book in the world, the most published book in the world, the most translated book in the world, the best-selling book in the world, and it is still making a difference in people's lives.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. Here's Rick to tell you more.
To fulfill the purpose that God created you for, and to become the person that God wants you to be, you must fill your life with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, through the Word we are put together and shaped for the tasks that God has for us. You see, God's Word is unlike any other word. It's alive. In John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. When God's Word comes into your life, you come alive. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us that God's Word generates life, creates faith, it produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. The Bible tells us that God's Word heals our hurts and builds our character and transforms our circumstances. The Bible tells us that God's Word imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. It releases power. It cleanses our minds. The Bible says God's Word brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Now, to help you study
the Word of God and to deepen your understanding of this life-changing Word, I've created a resource. It's called 40 Days in the Word, and it's a study kit that you can do by yourself or even better, do it with a couple friends in a small group. It includes a DVD study of 6 sessions and a workbook and other instructions on how to memorize Scripture, how to meditate on God's Word, and how to get God's Word into your heart and life at a level you have never had it before. This month, when you give a gift to help support the Ministry of Daily Hope, I want to send you the 40 Days in the Word study kit. It'll help you study the Bible, but as I said, it can also be used as a small group study where you'll learn methods of personal Bible study. This is all for your gift to Daily Hope. I've told you before, we're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gift goes directly toward telling people around the world about the hope of the good news. I do this for free. I don't get any remuneration for doing this. I do this because I care about God's Word and I care about you. The Bible says we can't live without the Word of God. We are to never take it for granted. We are to consider it an essential part of our lives, as essential as eating on a daily basis. Job 23:12 says, "I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Do you do that? This study kit, 40 Days in the Word, can teach you how to treasure God's Word even more than food.
We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word 6-session video and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.